Welcome to the How To Dressage podcast, and in this episode we're going to look at how to ride shoulder four. Now if you're new to the world of dressage, you may have heard the terms shoulder four and shoulder in mentioned both in terms of schooling your horse and as elements of dressage tests. So what's the difference between the two exercises? How do you ride them, and what are the benefits of doing so? Now in this podcast episode, we're going to answer all your questions about shoulder four and its cousin, shoulder in. So basically, shoulder four is an easier version of shoulder in, and it is used as the introduction for both horses and novice riders to the more challenging exercise. Now tests from British Dressage elementary level onwards include shoulder in as an exercise. However, shoulder four is a simple schooling and training exercise that is not tested in dressage tests at the time of recording. So, what exactly is shoulder four? So, the idea of riding shoulder four is to bring the horse's inside hind leg more underneath his body to improve his balance and also to help his straightness, especially in the canter. Now, for a correct shoulder four, the horse's forehand is brought slightly in from the track so that the inside foreleg travels slightly to the inside. Now the horse's inside hind leg tracks behind the prince left by his two forelegs, and the outside hind leg follows the track of the horse's outside foreleg. And then when in shoulder four, the horse should be flexed very slightly to the inside. Now shoulder four should be ridden at a very shallow angle, just enough to displace the horse's shoulders very slightly to the inside of the track and bring the inside hind leg more underneath his body. Now in comparison to that, let's take a look at shoulder in. So shoulder in is basically the same exercise as shoulder four, but made somewhat more challenging because a greater angle is demanded. So in shoulder in, the horse's shoulders are displaced more to the inside than in shoulder four, and the inside foreleg moves on one track, and the inside hind leg and the outside foreleg move along a second track, and then the outside hind leg moves along a third track. So effectively, the shoulder in exercise should be performed on three tracks. Now, as with shoulder four, the horse should be bent to the inside when in shoulder in. Now, shoulder in should be ridden at an angle of about 30 degrees to the track, but if the angle becomes too great, the exercise then becomes leg yield, and the horse ends up moving on four tracks rather than three. Okay, so now let's talk about some common problems when riding the shoulder four exercise. Now, although the shoulder four and the shoulder in exercises look easy when they're ridden well, there are actually quite a few common problems that dressage judges frequently see, and they include the following. So number one is too much angle, not enough bend, so that the horse's quarters swing to the outside. Number two is that there is no angle or not enough angle. Number three is that there is a varied position, usually because the horse loses his balance and can't maintain the position throughout the exercise. Number four is that there is the wrong bend or no bend at all. Number five is that the horse is unsteady to the contact. Number six is that there is a loss of or a varied rhythm. Number seven is that there is a loss of impulsion and throughness. And lastly, number eight is that there is too much neck bend, which allows the horse to fall out through his outside shoulder whilst he continues to move on just one track. So, what is the purpose of riding shoulder four and shoulder in? So, both the shoulder four and the shoulder in exercises are intended to increase the horse's engagement, lateral and longitudinal suppleness, and collection. Now, when you ride your horse correctly in shoulder in, he will need to take more weight onto his inside hind leg, flexing the joints more as he does so. Now that makes it much easier to balance the horse when riding transitions, as it has the effect of lifting the forehand so that his paces become freer and lighter. Now note that many top riders use shoulder fore routinely when riding dressage tests, and it's an aid to help keep young horses balanced and straight. Now you won't be marked down for doing that, and the judge will most likely be impressed at your demonstration of such skill and knowledge. Right, so now let's talk about straightening the crooked horse in canter. Now, your horse's hips are wider than his shoulders, and that means that if you're riding on soft ground and you look at the imprints of his front and hind hooves, you will see that his front feet land on the ground slightly closer together than his hind feet. So although we talk about alignment as the front and hind hooves travelling in the same lines, it's not quite possible. Now, due to the nature of the canter sequence, where the legs on one side of the leading side, they're always moving in advance of the legs on the outside of the horse's body, this then encourages the horse's spine to curl up towards the leading leg. And this is why judges often comment that the horse is quarters in canter. Now, to prevent this natural crookedness, canter should always be ridden with a slight feeling of shoulder fore, so that the 2 feet on the leading side are aligned in one track, and the horse's nose is positioned over his inside knee. Now, if you remember the difference in the width of your horse's shoulders and hips, then you will see why you must move the shoulders slightly to put the front hoof directly in front of the corresponding hind hoof. Okay, so with all that theory out of the way, let's move on to actually talking about how to ride shoulder fore. So essentially, the aids for shoulder fore and shoulder in are the same. The only real difference is that you ask for less bend and angle when riding shoulder fore. So the aids for shoulder fore are as follows. So step number one is to sit up straight and look along the inside track. And that turns your upper body and shoulders slightly, which effectively positions your shoulders where you want those of your horse to be, keeping you both in balance and in perfect alignment. Step number two is to open your inside rein just a little to ask for a slight inside flexion, but don't overdo it. Step number three is to close your outside rein against the horse's neck and bring his shoulder in from the track. Again, don't overdo it. Your aim here is to literally displace the forehand slightly to the inside. Your outside rein controls the degree of neck bend, supports the horse, and prevents him from drifting out through his shoulder. Now, to establish the correct position and bend, ride as if you are beginning a 10-meter circle. And the first stride on the circle gives you the correct shoulder fore position. Step number four is that as the horse assumes the shoulder fore position, keep your inside leg on the girth and tell your horse to keep moving along the track rather than moving onto the circle. And then step number five is to drop a little more weight into your inside seat bone and push your outside hip back, which in turn brings your outside leg back slightly behind the girth. And keep your outside leg passive to prevent the horse's quarters from escaping to the outside. Now throughout the exercise, think of keeping your horse swinging freely forward through his back, and provided that the horse is working forwards into your outside rein, your aids can be subtle, and the all-important throughness, freedom, and fluency are maintained. Now, as a small note, although shouldering in dressage tests is ridden down the long side of the arena, as a schooling exercise, you can ride shoulder fore and shoulder in on a circle. Now, that makes both of these exercises brilliant for suppling a tense horse through his back and encouraging him to work more into your outside rein, whilst at the same time staying soft and round in the inside rein. And lastly, a word of caution. So be very careful that you don't try to pull the horse around into shoulder fore by using your inside rein, because that will result in too much neck bend and the horse will fall out through his shoulder. Now, the horse will most likely then become tense and unbalanced, and he won't physically be able to go forward. Now, once your horse is confident and fluent in performing shoulder four, then you can increase the angle slightly to create the shoulder in position without compromising the horse's rhythm, flow, and balance. So to wrap this episode up, shoulder four and shoulder in are both excellent exercises for developing engagement, suppleness, and throughness in the horse at all levels. Now, if you have any other hints and tips that you would like to share with us, or any other questions when it comes to this podcast episode, then please feel free to leave us a comment at the bottom of the relevant blog post on our website. Alternatively, you can join our training forum, which you can find at howtodressage.com/community. But to make sure that you don't miss out on any of our other free stuff, our training diaries, our books, and our competitions, please don't forget to like and follow us on our other social media platforms: Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and Pinterest. We truly appreciate you tuning in today to listen to our podcast and hope that you've got a lot from it. For more, don't forget to check out our articles and other free stuff available on our website, howtodressage.com, and pop by Amazon for our range of equestrian books, planners, and diaries to help you stay on track with your competitions and training. Bye for now.